Lord, we bow our heads humbly in your presence this morning. May your word and scripture be our rule. May your Holy Spirit be our guide and our teacher. And may we give the best part of ourselves to bring glory not to our names, but to your name. Amen. Well, let me begin with a few introductory comments about the day of Pentecost before we look closer at Acts chapter 2. But just before I do that, just a couple of notes. After you receive communion this morning, there'll be a prayer team down at the back. And if the Lord speaks to you this morning in a way that you would like some extra prayer for something, either for a challenge or to rejoice, please go see the prayer team at the back door. And also, if the Lord speaks to you during this service in a way that you would like to have a chat later on, please come and talk to me after the service, and I'd be glad to talk to you because the Lord moves and He speaks in His Word, and you may be someone who is questioning or doubting, and you need some clarification and some encouragement, so be happy to do that this morning. So, introductory comments about the day of Pentecost. It was a harvest festival. A harvest festival, and harvest is the perfect word for what we see going on in Acts chapter 2. We see the Holy Spirit breaking new ground and humbling hearts and opening blind eyes. And we see people in Acts 2 responding to Peter's sermon by asking, "What should we do?" After Peter said, "Turn to Christ and be baptized," 3,000 were harvested, and harvested from the spiritual darkness. So the celebration of harvesting crops in the field became the literal harvesting of living souls in Jerusalem. And it was also a look ahead to the harvest that would happen over 2,000 years up to today, and the harvest that will continue until the Lord returns. Pentecost was also a reversal of something we see in Genesis 11, which is the Tower of Babel. At the Tower of Babel, humanity was trying to reach up to God. We, in our arrogance, thought, we're going to build a tower, we're going to reach God in our strength and power. And you might remember what happened. God scattered us and gave us different languages, and we were confused. Well, at Pentecost, God came into the confusion and into the disunity and came down from heaven. Instead of us reaching up to Him, which is impossible, He actually reached down to us. He did it first in the birth of Jesus, and then He poured out the Spirit. Pentecost was also something else. It was a pure act of God's grace and kindness. Peter and the others didn't do anything to call the Spirit. They didn't cause the Spirit to come. They didn't create an experience for the people. God poured out His Spirit according to His promise given in the Old Testament book of Joel and according to what Jesus said. Jesus said He would do this. And this is exactly what happened. And finally, by way of introduction, the day of Pentecost was clearly supernatural. What a day. What a day. But the main point isn't the supernatural experience. The main point is how the Spirit brought new people to new life in Christ on that particular day, and how the Spirit continues to bring new life today as we follow Christ in 2019. So the truly miraculous thing is that there was this incredible harvest of people responding to Peter's sermon. Now, the sermon was pretty long. We don't have the whole thing in Acts 2, so don't feel too ill-used this morning, please, by a long sermon. Peter's was probably longer, I think, but then again, there were 3,000 people added, so we can't argue with that. But we can easily get sidetracked into the experience of Pentecost, into the wind, into the tongues of fire, and the different languages. But the main point, again, is what God did to fulfill His promise. And when He acts in this way, when His Word is preached, and when His Word is heard, His Spirit comes, hard hearts are softened, and men, women, and children are born again. Sometimes, if we focus too much on the experience of Acts 2, we end up thinking that we're second-class Christians because we haven't had the same experience. We weren't there on the day of Pentecost, so we wonder, do we want to try to recreate that or, you know, have Pentecost happen again? But we actually have the Holy Spirit living in us. He's in you now. This is a day of Pentecost. It's been continuing since the day almost 2,000 years ago when the Spirit was first poured out. Well, on to the passage, which is Acts 2, 1 to 12. And this is the glorious story of Pentecost. And let's just look at it and see what it tells us about being Spirit-filled followers today. Let me first of all read you the first part of Acts, the very first part that Luke wrote, chapter 1, verse 1. And this really sets up the events of the day of Pentecost. Here's what Luke says. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. The former book, that's Luke's gospel. And in that book, Luke shows the three-year period where Jesus fulfilled his ministry, and we see Jesus intentionally limiting himself to Israel, to a specific time and place, and during those 3 years, we see him doing amazing things, healing the sick, raising the dead, feeding the hungry, blessing the marginalized, rebuking the proud, and restoring the fallen, and of course, teaching as no one ever has or ever will. So Luke says Jesus did all these things until the day he was taken up to heaven. But notice there how Luke describes his own written gospel. He says that in the Gospel of Luke, he wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. That's what Jesus began to do. That's what he started to do. In other words, that was the beginning of his ministry. But that was only the beginning. That wasn't the end. There's a lot more to come. The clear sense from this is that Jesus' ministry hasn't stopped. It continues today strongly in the power of the same Spirit. So Luke tells the story of the continuation in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, which some have called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Spirit that's driving this ministry forward. But now the story in Acts is told from the perspective of the apostles and the early church. So Jesus has ascended. His presence isn't physical anymore. His presence is in the power of this Holy Spirit. So he's with us through the power of the Spirit. And because he's with us in this new way, we actually see the church growing by leaps and bounds beyond what it did when Jesus was physically on the earth, which is hard for us to understand. Let me explain. When Jesus was healing and teaching over the 3 years of his public ministry, his influence was limited. It was limited to Israel and to the lost sheep of Israel, to a few Gentiles who were thrown in to show what God was going to do, and also to people like Samaritans and some Greek-speaking people and things like that. That was part of the Son's humanity, willingly limiting himself to that time and that space in that specific boundary of Israel. But now, today, since the day of Pentecost, he's been present everywhere and moving into every corner of the world because his followers have moved out into the world. And we're people who go with the Holy Spirit living in us. So when the Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of Jesus was poured out and started to move out into every corner of the world. First through the apostles, then through those who came after. And we know that eventually, after centuries, it eventually came to these shores where it continues to take root and grow. And today, by God's grace, it continues to shake empires. There's a reason why the Chinese government really would like to stamp out the Christian church. This is a serious power. This is the power that shakes empires and destroys them, all to bring glory to God. So the events described in Acts 2 point to the continuing story. This is the continuing story of Jesus as he works and teaches through his apostles. And then we see that extension today as Jesus continues to work and to teach through his church. So the point I really hope you will take away today is that in the book of Acts, we see Jesus' continuation. We see the continuation of his ministry, the ministry of good works and teaching. And this is the ministry of the church. And because of this work and these words, people from all nations are still coming to Jesus to be baptized and to be saved. So this is where we come in, because we carry on in this apostolic tradition. Did you notice in the creed we said one holy Catholic and apostolic church? We stand in this tradition, and we continue the ministry of Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we do. So let's just, first of all, look at the things Jesus did, the works he did during his earthly ministry. And to get a picture of this, of course, we look at the Gospels and see what he did. Here's a description from Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. This is from Luke 4. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now that list in Luke 4, that's beautiful. That's what we long to see. We long to see the beautiful things of God filling the world and filling human hearts, and we'd love to see all the ugliness be pushed away so it's only good things. But we have to know, I hope, that ugliness is here with us because it's in us. It lives deep in our hearts and in our minds. We can't get rid of it on our own. We only find freedom from it and power to deal with it through faith in Christ. We need that Holy Spirit again to come and to live in us and help us to begin living a holy life. So the words Jesus spoke at the beginning of his ministry there in Luke 4, they were the words that were put into action over the 3 years of his public ministry as he traveled with his chosen followers. And during those 3 years, he showed how he was going to set the oppressed free. And he showed how he was going to give sight to the blind. So all of his miracles, they're the signs and wonders in John's gospel, but all those miracles, that's the evidence. And that points to his identity. That's his calling card. He left behind calling cards in people's lives, and they would say, "We think only God can do this." And at the beginning of his public ministry in Luke 4, Jesus uses a word several times. He uses the word proclaim. Proclamation of the good news is the key here. Yes, Jesus physically healed all kinds of people, but the main ministry was that proclamation of the good news, that the kingdom of God has come near because the king has come near and is inviting people to come to him for salvation. This is the good news. If you'd like to read a really good example of this, look at Mark 2, 1 through 12, the healing of the paralyzed man. And notice in there the order in which Jesus does things. First of all, he proclaims the good news. "Son, your sins are forgiven." And second, he heals his legs. So the power of healing is still happening today. I hope we know this, that God still heals today. And it's still a sign to the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is still active in our world. And the healing points ahead, of course, to the new and restored life in the kingdom of heaven. But physical miracles aren't necessary for people to be born again. We love for the physical miracles to happen. We pray for healing. We rejoice when it happens. But the necessary ingredient here in the ministry that we have is this proclamation. The proclamation of this good news, three words: Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. If you can admit that, and if you want that, then a miracle takes place. There's a new birth, and a previously hard and stony heart becomes a soft heart of flesh, which is open to the Lord and willingly following in the way of discipleship. So the ministry of the church today and our church is meant to be just as clear and just as powerful and just as straightforward and earth-shaking as it was on the day of Pentecost. Nothing has changed. The Spirit has been poured out. The Spirit doesn't need to be poured out again. He has been poured out. He's moving. Yes, we ask him to come and refresh us and fill us again, but we have the Spirit. The Spirit is here. It's a continuation of Jesus' ministry. When it comes to the things Jesus taught, we work hard to stick to the plain message of the Bible. Luke means that we don't reinvent the message. We never reinvent the message to suit a new generation or a new culture. We give the same message, it's the same proclamation of the same good news, but we certainly look for new and creative ways to present the message to our world. And of course, we ask the Spirit to give us creative people to take this message to the world, people who have a burning desire to reach the lost. And as we do this, we don't do it to build our own ministry. This is not our ministry. It's not my ministry. This is the ministry of Jesus Christ. And this is the continuation of what started on the day of Pentecost. So the work and words of the church need to stay the same. And our work is to do the same things Jesus did. Serve the poor, feed the hungry, comfort the sick, visit the prisoner, come alongside the oppressed, the depressed, and the hopeless. And we do all these things in the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit as we continue this ministry. And we also continue the teaching ministry that Jesus began. So our words should be flavored with the words of Scripture. These are the words that we should immerse ourselves in. And this means we'll take opportunities to share the good news with others. We'll ask if they have questions about what we believe. We'll listen to their questions and even listen to their doubts and their challenges. We'll sit with them. We'll offer to read the Bible one-to-one. We'll invite them to join a small group. We'll pray with them. We'll pray for them after they leave. And we'll invite them to join us on a deeper journey of discipleship. This is how we stay faithful to the continuing ministry of Jesus. This Spirit-driven ministry, believe it or not, has already reached more people than it did during Jesus' time. Isn't that amazing to think about, that this Spirit-driven ministry has now gone way beyond the borders of Israel and into every corner of the world? So for almost 2,000 years, the Spirit has been hovering, blowing where God chooses, and millions have been born again. Many more than were born during Jesus' physical ministry during that 3-year period. But now that it's a continuation and the Spirit's moving everywhere, well, the ministry continues to grow by leaps and bounds. So today, from our home base here in Victoria, we go out as Spirit-filled and Spirit-empowered disciples. And as we go, we always have to resist an urge. The urge is to reinvent the good news message or to water it down to make it more acceptable. We continue the ministry of Jesus because we know we can't improve what Jesus started. We simply continue his work. It's his ministry, guided and filled with his power. Yes, we use our talents, we use our wisdom and our creativity, but we do it to continue his ministry, to serve the world, and share the word with the world, always remembering, though, that this is him, driven by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as his disciples in the modern world, we know some things. We know that this message changes lives because it changed our lives. And we want this to change other lives as well. But we also know that some will resist, as they always have. Some will ignore, as they always have. Some will listen and accept, as they always have. New men, women, and children will be born again through the continuing ministry of Jesus Christ. We're part of this. And what started on the day of Pentecost continues today in the power of the same Spirit until Jesus comes back. Amen.